Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us, and hope you're doing well here in January, getting into February. And when we get into January, of course, what we talk about is basketball mostly, and there's NBA, and of course the NBA clouded by the death of Kobe Bryant, so everybody kind of takes a step back when that happens, and of course that's a very sad situation. But basketball goes on, and it's happening on a lot of different levels, high school, college, and yes, the NBA. But at the college level, we have with us today a coach who is doing very, very well. His name is Scott Nagy, and he is the head basketball coach of the Wright State Raiders in Dayton, Ohio. And Scott's been very successful. He had 21 years at South Dakota State, where he kind of turned that program around from being a very small program to a Division I program. And in the last few years that he's been at Wright State, he has done very well also. As we record this, they are 18-4. They are the number one team in the Horizon Conference, and they're looking to go to the NCAAs unless they have a complete breakdown here in the month of February, which you don't expect. But Scott Nagy, a great guy, and one that's concerned about his players on and off the court. And the thing that, of course, we are very interested in is his Christian testimony. He comes to us as a man who grew up and lived in the same house with another one of our close friends, Matt Hergis, who is the pitching coach this year for the Arizona Diamondbacks. I wonder if Mr. and Mrs. Hergis knew that when they were having kids from high school, when they were having two kids that were going to Champaign Centennial High School, that they would have two players who would go in diverse directions and become and get to the top of the mountain, so to speak, in their respective fields. But we've got Scott Nagy with us today. This is an interview that we did a couple of years ago. I think you're going to enjoy the interview as you hear about Scott, hear about a little bit about Wright State, and hear about his Christian testimony. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear the interview that we did with Scott Nagy of the Wright State Raiders. We'll be back after this. You are listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us. And with us today is certainly an up-and-coming coach, if he's not already there, Scott Nagy, the head men's basketball coach at Wright State University in Dayton, Ohio. Congratulations on your first 2 years here. You came here in 2016. You guys have had tremendous success. Has that been something that you expected, winning over 20 games in your first 2 years?
Well, we're probably a little ahead of schedule what we thought when we came here. When you have to restart and do things, and I guess we didn't really have to restart. There were some really good players when we came here, and so the first year was a little bit chaotic, but to win 20 games, I think was we were certainly very pleased. And then I think last year to win 25 was a little bit probably ahead of where we thought we would be, because we lost some very good players from the year before, and so it was certainly a good surprise. But I think that I have very good assistant coaches, and they bring us very good players, and that's the big key.
Yeah, recruiting certainly a key part of it, and you certainly have established yourself over the years. Head coach at South Dakota State for 21 years, over 400 wins there. What brought you to Wright State after so many years up in South Dakota?
When you're someplace 21 years, you don't just leave there willy-nilly, and so it was not a very easy decision. And we had taken South Dakota State from Division II to Division I, and we were very extremely successful in Division II. We won over 80% of our games, and the transition was an incredibly difficult one, which it is just about for every school, and very few coaches even make it through the transition from Division II to Division I. But we did, and we had some tough years. Years where we won six games and eight games, and You know, there's probably a time there where I probably came pretty close to losing my job, and but we stuck with it and continued to the recruit the kind of kids that we wanted, and we started to win 19 games and 22 and 23 and 25 and made it to three NCAA tournaments and won several championships, conference championships, and finished second. And so it took a while to rebuild it, and I was probably in a spot where I could have stayed at South Dakota State for the rest of my career, but when Wright State came calling, you know, I was very impressed with what I saw when I came, the facilities, and certainly the AD here, Bob Grant, wanted me. I mean, he knew that I was the guy he wanted, and he targeted me, and it's amazing because I had no connection to Wright State. I didn't know anybody here. Yeah. And for whatever reason, you know, Bob knew that I was the guy he wanted, and so he came after me pretty hard. And really, one of the big factors for us was it was about 5 hours from all of our family. My wife's parents live in Nashville. My mom lives in Tennessee. My dad lives in Chicago. And so for us to be so much closer to our parents, who are all in their 70s, was a big plus for us.
South Dakota State, you say you take them from Division II to Division I, and it's a real transition. What is the major transition in going that route?
When we did it, when we made – there's like a 5-year period where you can't play an NCAA tournament. And so not only did we have that moratorium, but we had no league for the first 3 years that we were in Division I. When you have no league, it's unbelievable trying to put a schedule together, particularly in January and February when everybody else is in league play. And so we were traveling all over the country and had awful schedules, and we had a hard time keeping players because it was such a difficult transition that kids just couldn't make it. They couldn't take how tough it was and didn't like the losing. And so probably over a 2 or 3 year period, we lost 11 players. Mm. And so I began to recruit and tell kids how tough this thing is. And if you're going to come and then leave when it gets tough, then please don't come. And so we recruited a group of kids that really didn't have a great experience in terms of winning, but they stayed. They stayed committed to us, and they helped us recruit the kids that went to the NCAA tournament.
And you went to the second round of the NCAAs a couple of times. What were some of what were the games that you played up there? What were they like?
You know, it's tough because when you come from a league like the Summit League or the Horizon League, you're going to have a hard time getting a great seed. You know, the highest seed we ever had was a 12. We had a 12, we had a 13, we had a 14. But you're playing, you know, when you play those seeds, you're playing probably, you know, top 25 teams in the country. And so we played some tough games. Our first year we played Baylor. I think we lost by 5 or 6. The second time we went, we played Michigan, and Michigan ended up in the national championship game against Kansas and lost that game. But we played them tough. And then the third time we were in, just – 3 years ago, we played Maryland and had the ball with, you know, under 10 seconds to go, down 3. And so we were in all those games. We fought, but you know, you just have to play so perfectly when you're playing such good basketball teams.
You've had so much success, and I actually was talking to a friend about doing this interview not long ago, and he was at one of your clinics, and he's an Indiana coach, and he said, this guy's the master of defense. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what you impressed him with. Is defense the real key item for you?
It's the most important thing to me. I certainly wouldn't consider myself a master of defense. I second guess myself all the time on how we do things. You know, our philosophy has always been to recruit really good offensive players. Guys that can handle it, pass it, and shoot it are the three things that we like. And then we take those good offense players, and all we do is work on defense. And I've always been, you know, of the thought process of if I never taught good offense players how to do anything on the floor, they know how to score. They know how to put the ball in the basket. But it'd be very difficult for me to take a guy that was a tremendous athlete that wasn't a good shooter, wasn't a good ball handler, and try to turn him into a good offensive player. That's hard to do. So I would much rather recruit guys that already know how to do that. And then we make them do the things that kids don't normally do when they go in a gym, which is all the tough things, the diving on the floor, floor and that playing defense and rebounding and blocking out. And so we've never had the greatest defense teams, but we've been pretty good defensively. But we've always been great offensively because we get good offense players and we let them play with freedom. And then we demand that those guys play defense. Now, this past year, we weren't that great offensively. We were really good defensively, and that's what really helped us.
Where did you recruit? You're recruiting. Who comes to Wright State? Where do you get your players from?
All over the Midwest. When we were in South Dakota, it was Iowa and Illinois, Minnesota, Wisconsin. You come here, we're still heavily into Illinois because that's where I'm from, and we have a lot of contacts there. But Indiana, Michigan, obviously Ohio, Pennsylvania. This is such a great recruiting area because in 5 hours in any direction, it's amazing the number of kids that we can see. And so they're all over the place. We have a couple kids from Kentucky. And so it's a very easy area to recruit from.
Scott Nagy is our guest. He's the head coach at Wright State University, and he's been very successful, winning 20 games most seasons that he's been involved. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Scott and talk to him a little bit about his life. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Scott Nagy. He's the head coach of the Wright State Raiders in a very historic spot here, right down the road from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Air Force Museum, and Wright State, a team. How old is Wright State University? It hasn't been here a real long time, I don't think. Maybe 25, 30 years, something like that?
Yeah, I think it started in the early 70s.
Yeah.
It used to be associated with Ohio State and as well as Miami was. And then they broke off and created their own universities from it.
Basketball certainly been in your background. Your dad was a basketball coach, I believe, at the University of Illinois, assistant coach at the University of Illinois, and you moved around. I saw where you have really covered the country and where you've lived. You've lived in born in Abilene, Texas, I believe. You went to high school in Illinois and Champaign, South Dakota State. Here you are in Dayton, Ohio. That's kind of the legacy of a basketball coach, though, isn't it? Some of that has been, of course, since you've become an adult, and some of that was time when you were growing up. Tell me a little bit about what you learned from your dad as an assistant coach at the University of Illinois.
Well, when I was growing up, when I was a kid and all the way up to high school, my dad was a head coach, a junior college head coach in Kansas and then in Missouri. And my dad played for Lou Henson, and that's where I was born, in Abilene, Texas, at Hardin-Simmons. And so, I watched my dad as a head coach first, which is a little bit backwards of usually your assistant coach, then a head coach. He did it backwards, but he was tough. I mean, he was, the things and how he treated his players, and he loved his players, but, I mean, he was hard on them. Things that I don't think you could get away with today, you'd probably lose your job pretty quickly. he was just very, very tough on them. But, I mean, his teams were nasty tough. And they weren't super talented, but, man, they were tough. And they guarded. Nobody enjoyed playing them. It was just a very difficult game for everybody to play. And then Dad was hired by Coach Henson at the University of Illinois. And so I had 1 year in the eighth grade in Champaign, and then went to high school there. And his role was a lot different as an assistant coach. I mean, his main responsibility was to recruit and help organize that recruiting. He was a recruiting coordinator. Dad's a very organized man. But with Dad moving under Coach Henson there, Coach Henson was of the same mindset in terms of defense and rebounding. And I believe that, and that's probably where I learned to recruit good offensive players and then demand that they do those things, because we always had good players at Illinois. But that's what Coach spent most of his time on, was the defense and rebounding side of it.
And there's a state that I left out of, which was very important to you. That was Delta State. That's Mississippi, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're Cleveland, Mississippi, yeah. I think, if I remember right. Yeah, how'd you end up in Mississippi?
Those were great years. Well, Ed Murphy was the coach at Delta State. Ed and my dad were both born in Syracuse and grew up together, went to high school together. Ed went and played for Coach Henson in Texas. And Ed convinced Coach Henson to recruit my dad. Well, my dad was working on a milk truck at the time. He wasn't even – he was out of high school and working on a milk truck, and Coach Henson called him, offered him a scholarship, never seen him play. And so Dad jumped in the car and drove to Abilene, and that's how he got involved in coaching.
Tell me a little bit about playing at Delta State. What that's up in the Delta region of Mississippi.
Yeah, just south of Memphis. Great experience.
What kind of schools did you play down there in Delta State?
Well, we were Division II, a very good Division II program and still is. We went to 3 out of 4 NCAA tournaments in the years I was there. We went to 1 Final Four. But just a great experience. Played in the Gulf South Conference all over Arkansas and Mississippi and Alabama and Georgia. And so I spent 4 years down there in the Deep South and really enjoyed it.
And not only just played, but I think you hold the record for the most games played, so you must have been pretty tough. I think something like most assists.
I've started the most games down there. I was fortunate enough to start when I was a freshman, started every game. I was not a great player. I was never an all-conference player. I'm just a reliable guy. I was a point guard. I played with great players, and they just kind of counted on me to get them the basketball. But generally, you know, if you're the all-time leading assist guy, you're probably the all-time leading turnover guy too. So I'm sure I hold that record.
I know your faith is very important to you. That's why we're here today. Tell me a little bit about what Christ means in your life.
This goes back to when I was in high school, and I ended up living with my best friend's family. My parents were divorced, and the mother, Barb Hurgis, was just kind of had it in for me. And I got involved with Youth for Christ, and I went to a camp in Wisconsin between my junior and senior year and gave my life to Christ there. And still, as I think back on this, I still didn't completely understand what was going on, but I know that was the beginning of it. And so I went through my senior year of high school and then 4 years of college and was involved in some campus ministry there. And still, the main struggle I had, and I think partly because I was just involved with sports and just a level of performance, and to this day, I struggle with performance. But when I got back to the University of Illinois, I went from Delta State on to be a graduate assistant at the University of Illinois with my dad and the Fighting Illini, and I was fortunate enough my first year to go to a Final Four. I mean, I just had unbelievable experiences. But there was a man there named Bill Rader who was on staff with Athletes in Action. We sat down. I remember just a greasy spoon there on the corner of Kirby and Madison, Champaign, Illinois. And Bill asked me. He said, so because he knew the struggles. Like, am I good enough? Am I good enough? And have I performed well enough? And he just asked me. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? I said, Bill, I have no idea. And it just drive me crazy. I don't know if I'm good enough. And he said, well, have you asked Christ in your life? I said, I have. And he said, well, then you're going to heaven. And it was amazing from that point on just how I understood that it didn't have anything to do with me. And what I've done had everything to do with Jesus Christ and what he did and the free gift that it was. Now, I mean, here I am 52 years old, and I still struggle with it. I still struggle with performance and I understand that it's just a sense of pride for me, really, and I have a hard time letting go of it. But I've certainly grown a lot over the years, and Bill and I have stayed very close. He actually married my wife and me, and he's married family members of mine. He married my son just this past weekend, and so he's been a very good friend of mine, and been a very heavy influence in my life.
And I know there are ways in which you can have influence on this campus. One of them is I noticed that you were named the 2012 Barefoot Coach of the Year by a group called Samaritan's Feet, which I'm familiar with. Tell me a little bit about Samaritan's Feet and about your coaching a game barefoot.
Well, I got involved with Samaritan's Feet about 11 years ago. My wife and I, we have 5 kids, and the first 4 are our children. And then we adopted a little girl from Haiti. Almost 13 or 14 years ago, Nike is so we've been 13 years ago, Nike is 15 now. And I was trying to figure out, you know, as a coach, or just as even as a man, you know, how are the things, what are some things I can do to help her country? Because Haiti's a mess. It just is a mess. And I saw Ron Hunter, who was in our league at that time at IUPUI, coaching the first barefoot game. And so I raised all these shoes, and so I was asking him about it. And Ron introduced me to Manny Ahomey, who runs Samaritan's Feet. And so, you know, I came to know Manny, and Manny is you know, to this day, just one of my very best friends. And probably, I mean, I you know, I've met a lot of people, but I don't know if I've met anybody more impressive than Manny Ahomey. And, you know, when Manny was nine, he lived in Nigeria, and that's where he was born. He was at the park selling water. He got involved with this missionary who was running a game at the park with a basketball. He'd never seen a basketball or never played basketball before, but he won, and he won a pair of shoes. And it was the first pair of shoes he'd ever had in his life. He's 9 years old. And so, you know, Manny grew up, came to the United States, played basketball, and became very successful. And lived in the United States, married a woman from here, and was raising a family. Went back to Nigeria for his dad's funeral. He went back to that park, saw all the kids running around their bare feet, and God just struck him right there and said, I want you to put shoes on these kids' feet. And so he fought it for a little while, but then he started Samaritan's Feet. And Samaritan's Feet goes all over the world, including the United States, and does shoe distributions. And in a shoe distribution, you wash the person's feet, you give them a brand new pair of socks, brand new pair of shoes. And so, you know, I got involved with it. So I started coaching barefoot. It's easy. You do it once a year, and it just helps raise awareness for Samaritan's Feet. But anything we raise, we send to Haiti. And so we've gotten involved in that, and we've taken one team to Haiti. Back 5 years ago, we took a team from South Dakota State to Haiti, and by far, of all the things I've ever done as a coach, the best thing we've ever done. And no basketball involved with it. You know, our kids were just there for humanitarian purposes, and we worked with orphanages and schools. And so here this August, we're getting ready to take another team to Haiti, so we're pretty excited about it.
Fantastic. Those are the things that players, people don't know about that goes along with you. And I know there's other coaches, too, that have been involved in it. Just I think that's terrific that you get a chance to be involved so completely in a country like Haiti, not just giving lip service to it.
Yeah.
Our time is up. I appreciate so much spending time with you. I've asked you if you had a favorite verse. You said that you weren't sure you had one. There's a lot of them. But tell me a little bit about something that might be on your mind, a verse possibly that you might have.
Well, and I, you know, I seem to find my way into Philippians quite a bit, and you know, you and I talked about this that just the attitude of Christ, you know, and I think about it quite a bit that Him being in the very nature of God, but not considering Himself that, and took on the form of a man. And what He did for us, you know, dying a death on a cross, you know, and it says, even dying a death, but it says even on a cross, which was such a humiliating way to die. But I also know that at the end of all this, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you know, I think about myself, and it's hard. You know, we're in sports, and people are so interested in you. Sometimes it's hard not to get full of yourself. But I'm often reminded of the attitude of Christ, and I know that is to be my attitude also.
Scott Nagy, thanks for spending so much time with us. So certainly, when I watch Wright State basketball now, I'll certainly think of it in a different sense after having spent time with you. And thanks again for being a part of Face to Face.
Thank you.
All right, Scott Nagy, the head coach of the Wright State Raiders. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Scott Nagy, and hope you enjoy Face to Face. Of course, we've had a number of different interviews on here from time to time, and if you'd like to know more about Face to Face, you can check us out at our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com. And we have different interviews up there on a weekly basis, different sports. Even now, we're getting ready for some baseball interviews because baseball getting ready to start, spring training getting ready to open, and I don't know. Whenever spring training comes around, I always just feel like it's just the beginning of a new year and the beginning of summer, and you start hearing the birds a little more, and you start noticing that the weather warms up. Even though there's still snow on the ground in some places, spring training in Arizona and spring training in Florida still gets me going. And I'm heading out to Arizona before long. I'm going to do some interviews with some baseball players out there, and I'm sure that you'll enjoy that as you listen to them. By the way, as we said, there's so many interviews up there. You can download them as you walk the dog or whatever you do. You can listen to the interviews and be inspired by the fact that there are Christian athletes all over the sporting world, all over in a number of different ways, a number of different sports, and hope that you enjoy that. Well, as we close today, I want to take you to a passage in the book of Isaiah, and here's what it says. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. You know, there's a lot of things in the world that can drag us down, can bring us down, and can. A lot of times we run into various situations where people say, well, you just really live in a fantasy. There is no God, and he doesn't care about you, even if there was one. But we know that's not the truth. We know that God cares about us and loves us, and that's what we do with Face to Face. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana, 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.